Well, staying with presidential politics, there's been criticism of Today Show host Matt Lauer, who moderated last night's commander-in-chief forum with the candidates. Let's take a quick check with NPR media correspondent David Folkenflik. Hi, David.
Hey, Robin.
And here's a moment people are talking about. It was Donald Trump talking about being against the war in Iraq and Lauer's non-follow-up.
I was against the war in Iraq because I said it's going to totally destabilize the Middle East, which it has. It has absolutely been a disastrous war. And by the way, perhaps almost as bad was the way Barack Obama got out. That was a disaster.
People talk about you and Commander-in-Chief and not just Secretary Clinton, but some of your Republican opponents in the primary season, and they wonder about your temperament.
So, David Folkenflik, a lot of people saw that as a non-sequitur, that Trump might have mentioned that, that Lauer might have mentioned that Trump told Howard Stern he was for the war in Iraq.
Well, let's break it down a little bit. Even if Lauer had been simply listening to his response and had the memory of an earthworm, he would have heard Trump say, look, you could go back to an article in 2004 in Esquire where I was against it. That would have been a year after the invasion of Iraq. That would not have been leading the charge against it prior to the invasion. Secondly, there is zero evidence in which to say it is untrue that Donald Trump came out against it. Thirdly, on the Howard Stern show, and I believe it was our friends over at BuzzFeed News who determined this first, they pulled it out from the archives, and he said he was asked by Howard Stern, and he said kind of squishily, he's like, well, yeah, I guess I do favor going in. And this was in 2002, ahead of the invasion. So it wasn't a full-throated roar for invasion, but it was nothing like opposition.
Yeah, well, and Matt Lauer, look, has done some sharp interviews in the past. I mean, we'll hear what he says about whether he just blanked or what happened there. But what about his treatment of Hillary Clinton? Political commentator Norman Ornstein says he continuously interrupted her and told her to hurry up.
You know, Lauer interrupted Trump a few times too, but Trump steamrolled right over him. He just sort of cast him aside. With Clinton, he spent a lot of time asking about emails, and he did it from the outset. It's not an illegitimate point to raise, but he seemed to do so in a way that assumed the seriousness and the severity of the national security breach involved. And in fact, Clinton very much disputes that, and there is some argument over what the FBI's review of that shows. But he dwelled on it at some length. It meant that when he was getting into other national security and military issues that were supposedly the point of that 30-minute back and forth he had with Clinton, he essentially kept rushing her along and saying, we don't really have time. You got to do it briefly. And these were fairly serious issues like the question of taking on ISIS. So, you know, it seemed to me as though Trump had a great deal of time to go on with seeming non sequiturs in a fairly non-responsive or vague way, and that Clinton was essentially rushed through a lot of questions of more substance.
It's a reminder maybe of how important the moderator is in these things. But while we have you, Hillary Clinton took questions today from the media outside of her plane. And the fact that she went more than 250 days without a news conference was becoming a campaign point for Donald Trump. Does this all get forgotten now if she continues to hold them?
No, I think it's baked into the narrative that she's standoffish, doesn't quite trust the press to treat her fairly. That's something that stems back essentially a generation to the 1992 Bill Clinton first campaign for the White House and their decision in dealing with questions raised about their investments in Whitewater, essentially not disclose things and be transparent, a scandal that ultimately dissipated as the details came to light years later, but a lot of grief, lawsuits and an impeachment after the fact. The campaign has started to tentatively dangle her in front of reporters more. They had defended themselves for months by saying, look how many interviews she's done. NPR, I obtained a database of all the interviews she did through the end of July from the beginning of this year. And they said, look, we've done, well over 300 interviews. Now, a decent chunk of those interviews turned out to be with folks that you wouldn't consider journalistic. One talk show host in Detroit gave her an astrological forecast. Another was done on Sirius XM radio with the mayor of North Miami Beach, who not only was a supporter but a landlord for one of her headquarter offices in Florida. But nonetheless, they are starting to give her a little bit more access to the press. She's going to need it if she's going to be elected, as she hopes, president of the United States. She needs to be able to show she can handle questions from the press.
NPR media correspondent David Folkenflik. David, thank you as always.
You bet.